The first reading for the fourth Sunday of Easter is from Acts chapter 20. Now from Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. And when they came to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time, from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor is precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all of you. For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock, in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease, night or day, to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that with these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who are with me. In all things, I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.' This is the word of the Lord." The epistle is from the Revelation to St. John, chapter 7. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne, and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. John, the 10th chapter. At that time, the Feast of Dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not part of my flock. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hands. I and the Father are one. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message was the gospel lesson. Well, combination of the gospel lesson and the 23rd Psalm. But the picture of the 23rd Psalm or the gospel lesson is one of the most comforting pictures in all of Scripture. After all, our church is named after this psalm, Good Shepherd. By the way, when somebody is dying, I oftentimes will read to them the 23rd Psalm, and it's also the most requested psalm for a funeral. But why do we read this text each year, the gospel lesson, and read the 23rd Psalm? Well, we're going to find out why Jesus is the Good Shepherd and how his sheep delight to hear his voice. Now, a review of sheep. To me, they all look alike. You know, I go to the state fair and I see the sheep. I've seen one, I've seen them all. But I still appreciate the work that goes into raising them. But to tell you the truth, they all look alike to me. However, they're pretty helpless animals. You got to guide them and you got to keep them from danger because they're easy prey for wolves and coyotes. And I was surprised to find out we have coyotes in and around Franklin. Did you know that? You can't even leave your dog or cat outside. But anyway, dogs or cats need to be afraid, but so do sheep. Because they're easy prey. It's a shepherd's job to keep them together and safe. When one strays, it's his job to bring it back to the flock. And they also have a keen sense of hearing. That's something I didn't know about sheep. That's something kids, I wish, had that, a keen sense of hearing. But they can tell the difference in the voices. They can tell the voice of one shepherd versus another. Jesus is talking to a group of Jews at the temple around the festival of Hanukkah. And the Jews say to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." In other words, they're saying, "Jesus, there's all these rumors floating around about you. Are you the Christ or not?" And Jesus says to them, "I told you and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not part of my flock. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." So what's Jesus saying here? He's basically saying, look at all the things I've done so far. I've healed the sick, I've healed the lame, given sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, and even had raised the dead. And he says, look at everything I've done, and it should tell you that I am the Messiah. The Old Testament gave prophecies throughout it all that Jesus was the Christ. And in our adult Bible study, when we get to the last third of Isaiah, we're going to see passage after passage which talks about the coming Christ. Christ is basically saying, "I'm the Word made flesh. Look back at Scripture and you will see. My teachings, my healings all point to the fact that I am the Christ. You don't listen to me because you're not part of my people." See, the Jews refused to acknowledge who Jesus was. Part of the problem is they were looking for a political leader. They wanted a Messiah who would deliver them from the Romans. They didn't want a Messiah who would deliver them from the real enemy, sin, death, and the devil. Jesus is saying, look at my word. Listen to what I will do. Listen to the words again of the 23rd Psalm. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures.
He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Excuse me. Notice who's doing all the work in the 23rd Psalm. Is it the sheep? No, it's the shepherd doing all the work. That's how he leads us beside the still waters. He revives our soul. He comforts us. He brings us goodness and mercy. He does it all, not us. He delivers us ultimately and eternally to the house of the Lord. Now, the test of being a shepherd of the shepherd, do you listen to the voice of the good shepherd himself? Or are you more concerned about what you think or how you feel about anything, but in particular about God in general or the scriptures? It's how you personally feel. Those are signs of somebody who is ripe for the wolves. Jesus' message to the Jews is also appropriate for us today. Earlier I talked about characteristics of sheep. If sheep from two flocks intermingle, all right, how do you separate them? Because like I said, they all look alike. Maybe a shepherd can tell the difference, but I can't. All right, it's hard to tell the difference. And Christians don't look the same either. Or they do look alike, I should say. If looking alike means in their behavior and attitude. Non-Christians can say the right words. They can do the right things, but they're not part of the flock and they follow a different shepherd. We come to church to hear the under-shepherds preach the word of God. But there's too many under-shepherds in this world who speak a different word that don't save us and threaten to lead us astray into the mouth of the three great evils, sin, death, and the devil. Nothing new of under-shepherds leading the people astray. In Jeremiah 23, we read, words are difficult to pronounce. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pastures, declares the Lord. Therefore, says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who care for my people, you have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for your evil deeds, declares the Lord. These were shepherds who were preaching a word that were itching the people's ears. And this isn't just limited to the Jews of Jesus' day, but it's also applicable to us. There's preachers who preach happy church. Happy church is basically, Jesus loves you. Don't worry about how you live. Just keep in mind that Jesus loves you all the time. Or they come across with the law that you're all going to hell. Now, I'm always amazed that those churches are filled too. You're going to hell. You want to hear that message every week? I would hope not. See, in the Lutheran church, we have the law and the gospel. We preach the law, what God expects, but we also preach the gospel, what Christ has done for us. A false shepherd divides the flock and the sheep are scattered. Sheep don't fend too well when they're left on their own. That's why we're concerned about members that we haven't seen in a while, because they're easy prey for the enemy. The truest test of a under-shepherd is one that points us to Christ, points us to the shepherd's voice who gives us the danger of sin, but the good under-shepherd also sends us to Christ for cleansing, brings us back to the flock. The faithful under-shepherd will point us to the good shepherd and the still waters of his love. Shepherds carry a stick. You know that very famous picture of Jesus carrying the lamb. In his one hand, he has a staff. Part of it, the use of the staff is to ward off the wolves that are coming after the flock, but also to guide the sheep when they're going astray. He is the good shepherd because he laid down his life for the sheep. False shepherds allow the wolves to ravage the flock. Christ rises again to show us that he defeated sin, death, and the devil. And by the way, the little lamb in his arms, that's us. Because he constantly has to bring us back, because we all have a tendency, and it's because of our sinful nature, to try to stray from the flock, and he has to keep bringing us back again and again. We have that tendency to run away many times. And by the way, he has the battle scars to prove that he defeated sin, death, and the devil. Look at his hands, look at his feet, look at his side. He's defeated sin, death, and the devil. A real under-shepherd points to who we need to be listening to. Jeremiah 23 continues with, I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold. I will set shepherds over them who will care for them, and they shall fear no more nor be dismayed. Anyone who points to Jesus just as being our friend or a good moral teacher, but not the Savior, is a false prophet, a sheep in wolf's clothing. A wolf that's looking to devour you, to snatch you away from the flock of the good shepherd. Rather, we want to remain in the flock. We want to remain under Christ's control, which means his love and forgiveness. All the times that we stray, he brings us back. And through repentance, he forgives us of our sins, no matter what the sin was. There's never a sin that God cannot forgive while we are alive. The only one he won't forgive is unbelief at the point of death. But anything that we do during our lives, he will forgive that. He's that type of a good shepherd. When a sheep even gets into deliberate trouble, he forgives that as well. So the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. May the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen.